Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hard Time Strongman Podcast. This is Six. This week, I'm coming to you solo, 7 had a prior obligation. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on homesteading. This time, we're going to be talking about water. Specifically, we're going to be talking about water collection, water purification, and water storage on your homestead. Every homestead situation is different. So while every option may not be available to you or be to your liking, try to keep and have at least 3 options for each of these. When it comes to the collection of water, you do have quite a few ways that you can collect water. Really, in this instance, the imagination is your only limit. If you can think it, you can do it. But here's some basics for you. So one of the methods we can use as far as collection goes is to use your public or municipal water sources, which, you know, if you've ever tasted city water, it's not the greatest. Even if you're not in a homesteading situation or like living self-sufficiently or, stuff hitting the fan situation, I recommend having a Brita water filter, one of the bigger ones, on hand so that you can filter the water, because I mean, if you've ever tasted city water, it's not the best. I know in my area of Florida, they used to use a purification method, and the water tasted a little chlorine-y, which, man, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to the local like water park and tasting the water there. It's not great. But anyway, your next method would be your well. And I was raised on a farm. Well water it's actually fairly decent, unless you tap into a bad source. When it comes to wells, if you don't already have one, number one, hire a professional to drill the well. Sometimes you have to go really, really deep to find a source of water, at least a good one. And the professionals are going to be the ones who know how to do it and do it well, because they'll have their own equipment, obviously, and they'll be able to tap into those sources. Maintenance with a well, it's fairly simple. I mean, on the farm, we didn't test it at all because it worked, you know. You will have to test them periodically to make sure that like a pump hasn't gone bad. Trust me, you'll know if a pump on a well goes bad, because it will just not work well at all. And as far as consideration, as far as like drilling goes, if you hire professionals, they will check with your local municipality to make sure that all the permits are there. I mean, they're going to have to do that anyway. That's permitting is permitting. At least here, you almost can't do anything without a permit. Your next source is your rain roofs and your water collection, also known as rainwater harvesting. This is a fantastic way of harvesting water. So the whole premise behind this is you're installing gutters and downspouts to direct rainwater away from, or you're installing gutters and downspouts to direct rainwater from roofs into storage tanks. I recommend having large storage tanks in this instance. You're going to want to use large food grade barrels or tanks, and you're going to want to make sure that you have a filtration system to remove contaminants before you use that water. Rain roofs are, again, I can't stress it enough, they're fantastic, fantastic way of harvesting water. Seven first put me onto these, and I can't remember the exact figure that he said for the amount of water that can be harvested from a rain roof, but it's insane. It's a lot. Your other method of collecting would be surface water. So this would be your ponds, your lakes, your rivers, your creeks, your streams. These are great for use with irrigation and livestock and for, say, gardens. But I wouldn't take it necessarily for human consumption unless you're going to treat it. And I can't stress this enough. You must treat surface water, whether that would be mechanically or chemically. Because Lord knows, if you watch a nature documentary, you've seen animals defecating and relieving themselves into streams. Just assume that, like, surface water is already contaminated. And if you're going to use it, have a method of purification in place that's going to be foolproof. Have backup systems, have tertiary systems, and we'll discuss those in a little bit. Your next source is going to be your natural springs. And while these are still better than your surface water, I would still have methods in place for purification of these. The next method we have of water collection is water hauling and water delivery. So this can be anything from you personally are using buckets, jugs, barrels, all the way up to water tanks, tanker trucks, trailers, water buffaloes, pipelines, hose systems. These are just methods of moving water from its source to its intended storage place on your homestead. Like I said, you can use buckets, jugs, barrels, water buffaloes, pumps with tubing, piping, whatever you're going to need to move water in large amounts from one place to another. Whatever you've got on hand is probably best. You can also, say, set up a delivery schedule with a private company to deliver water, whether that be in those huge water jugs for the water coolers or bottles of water, or I mean, all the way up to I've even seen like the big polyethylene tanks, food grade ones. So your last method of water collection is desalination. Desalination is just basically the process of removing salt and other impurities from seawater or brackish water so that you actually have something fit for human consumption or for agricultural or industrial use. Because if you drink salt water, you're doing nothing more than just dehydrating yourself further. The method you're probably going to use the most as a private citizen will be solar desalination. This is just the process of using solar energy to evaporate water. This leaves the salts behind, and the vapor is then condensed into fresh water. It's an easy process. Doesn't take much to start it up, and it's suitable for small scale operations, but you can scale it up. The problem you have is that you are dependent on the sun for this. Your second best method of desalination would be your reverse osmosis. This is the process of just using semi-permeable membranes to remove salt and other impurities from the water. The water is forced through the membrane, leaving salt and the contaminants behind. This is really, really highly efficient. It's actually widely used and produces really good high quality water. The bad side is this is very energy intensive and it requires regular maintenance and replacement of the membranes that you use. This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the US, wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy proof.
And to help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strongmen Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire.
And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And when you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Nice. Check them out at graniterifelgroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. As far as purification goes, you have quite a few options. You have your filtration, which that could be a Berkey, it could be a Sawyer, something like that. You have your chemical purification, which would be iodine, aquatabs, bleach, chlorine, etc. You have boiling, you have UV, and you have your reverse osmosis. When it comes to storage, this is where you really want to, in my mind, this is where you want to be picky. So there's really not that many ways of storing them safely. So you can use water tanks, rain barrels, jerry cans, etc. Just make sure that when you're storing these things long term, you monitor these systems, because while the water itself may not break down, go bad, if you've ever noticed on your plastic water bottles, they have an expiration date. That is not for the water, that is for the bottle itself, because it can leach microplastics in your water. This lends to the same credence with these kinds of storage systems. Water tanks, even if they're metal, I mean, you can get rust into them. Rain barrels, same thing. Jerry cans, same thing. Even if you're going plastic, these things will still at some point break down. So you do want to monitor these systems, especially if you're storing water long-term with them. You also have your water cisterns. These are a great way of storing water, especially long-term, and they're a great way of storing large quantities of water long-term. You also have ponds. This is self-explanatory. It's an easy way to do it. It's a very simple way of doing this. But as with any open system of water storage, you have the possibility of pollution, whether it is from animal feces, whether it is some form of animal waste, whether it is mosquito infestation. I mean, mosquito lay their larvae in water, and good Lord, you do not want to be drinking mosquito larvae. That's not great for your system. There's runoff from any sort of pollutant. So it's an easy way to keep large quantities of water, but it's also something where you're going to want to have to, if you dredge from that, if you pull water from that, you're going to want to purify that either mechanically or chemically or any of the other systems that I named earlier. So some considerations with this. Man, as we've said before, you can never store enough water. The human body goes through water like water. Like it's freaking candy, you know. You can only go a few days without water. And there's a reason for that. Your body needs water to survive. It needs water to function, period. Another consideration for you is, how reliable is your source of water? You know, is this source of water going to be easily contaminated? Is it going to dry up if there's a drought? You know, can someone take it over and take it from you? You know, these are things you need to think about. Also, how many people, animals, or crops are dependent on your water supply? The amount of water you're going to need compared to the amount of water you're going to store or be able to store is going to be probably grossly different than what you may think. because people of varying ages and sizes are going to need more or less water, and this also includes genders. The same can be said of animals, because a dog may or may not need more or less water than a cat. That there are figures online that you can look up to see exactly how much water certain animals will require, say, during a natural disaster, like a hurricane or something. Crops also vary very much differently than humans and animals. They do need a constant source of water, but depending on the crop, it's a certain amount of water a certain number of times a week. So that's something that you need to take into consideration. Last thing you need to take into consideration is, do you have methods of transportation for the water that you do have in case you need to evacuate or help a neighbor? So do you have cases of water? Do you have jerry cans? Do you have buckets? Nalgene bottles? What have you? You need methods of moving that water should you need to leave. Well, guys, I really don't have much else to tell you about water collection for your homesteading. If you have other methods that you prefer or something you would recommend, please let us know. Hit us up on IG, hit us up on Discord, hit us up on Patreon. This is Six with the Hard Time Strongman podcast. As always, guys, stay in the fight.
Hey guys, this is 6-7 with the Hard Time Strongman podcast. Wanted to take a second to do a mental health check-in and to tell y'all about the 988 Crisis Lifeline. So, the 988 Lifeline is a national network of local crisis centers that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the United States. You can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text 988 to get help, to get someone real on the phone.
Every struggle is different. Every struggle is hard. But you are not alone in whatever you're going through. As someone who has used the 988 crisis line, I fully recommend that if you're feeling any of those feelings of depression, suicide, hopelessness, get in touch with them immediately. They will help you. They will listen to you.
Once again, guys, you can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text them at 988. As always, guys, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.